This is Jay Sekulow, and almost for Bernie Sanders.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Voters feeling the burn, Sanders last night taking Oregon and essentially splitting Kentucky, vowing to remain a thorn in Hillary Clinton's side. That keeps this election, at least for now, a three-person race.
So you've got Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. They're both now within striking distance of wrapping up their nominations. She needs 92 more. He needs 77 more. But Sanders continues to rack up his wins. He is such a big part of this story right now because his supporters are so dug in for Bernie Sanders. They're not going anywhere. The Vermont senator says he will take this battle all the way.
We are going to continue to fight for every last vote until June 14th, and then we're going to take our fight into the convention. We just won Oregon, and we're going to win California. I am getting to like the West Coast.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
If you don't become president, will this all have been for nothing? Or will you have changed America?
Unless I win, I can't do the changes. I can't make America great again. I can't lower taxes and make our military strong. I will say this, if I don't go all the way and if I don't win, I will consider it to be a total and complete waste of time, energy, and money.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. That was Donald Trump in an interview yesterday with Megyn Kelly, saying that if he doesn't win the presidency, waste of time and waste of money. On the Democratic side, a neck and neck, I mean, really neck and neck in Kentucky, where Hillary Clinton squeaks out a win, but I mean just barely, folks. I mean, you're talking about by a couple of thousand votes. If she were to have lost Kentucky, I think it would have sent shockwaves through the Clinton camp and the Democratic Party. She did not. She did lose in Oregon. Right now, she still has a significant delegate lead, 767 delegates to 1,488. So she still has a significant delegate lead. There are 2,383 needed to win on the Democratic side of things. There, that's what you got right now. So you got 2,291. So she's getting really close. She's within 100 and when you add Kentucky and the proportionality in. So it's getting very close for her. Do you think it's fair to say, Than, that she's the presumptive nominee? We've been saying it.
She's the presumptive. She's the presumptive nominee, but I think what's clear after last night, Jay, is she is not going to get there without the superdelegates. So you're going to have Bernie Sanders going to the Democrat convention, and by then he's going to want to have won about 15 of the last 25 contests. He's currently won 11 of the last 17, and he's going to tell those superdelegates, "I have the momentum. You should choose me." And if by some stroke, Jay, they were to choose him, he would be the nominee. He's going to take this all the way to the convention and make that case.
Let me ask this question to our audience. I want to hear from you on this. Where do you see things right now? Are you for Trump? Not for Trump. Who do you want to see as the VP? Where do you see things on the Democratic side? Are you a Bernie Sanders person? Or are you a Hillary Clinton person? Where do you see this playing out now that it looks like it's going to be Trump v. Clinton? We're going to take your calls on that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Our phone lines are open, so we'll take your calls after the break. I'm also going to give a report on a situation in Kenya where we have an office in Kenya, and we've had a major victory, and we're in court right now representing these young girls who get put into slavery, sold as wives at age 7, 8, 9. Palmer Williams, an associate counsel is working on the case, is going to be on the air with us in the latter part of this first 30 minutes. But again, we want to hear from you. This is a political day. 1-800-684-3110. Getting close for Hillary Clinton, getting right on the cusp. But Donald Trump looks like he's striking distance is an understatement. 77 delegates short, and he's there. So he's going to be the nominee. There's no doubt about that. All right, we'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Don't forget, in just less than 2 weeks, I am going to be up in fighting at the UN for Israel. That petition is up at ACLJ.org. We also have a petition up, stop the sexual enslavement of these Kenyan girls. I'm going to get into that later in the broadcast. You can sign that petition. It's 27,000 people have at ACLJ.org, ACLJ.org. Let me tell you what I got coming up next week. Major event on the immigration case. I'm presenting an argument in a moot court setting, very important, on the immigration issue. The next week, the United Nations defending Israel. A lot to talk about. Back with more in a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Mother Freedom, by the way, that's one we should have queued up for our friends on Facebook and Periscope during the break, too. That's a great one. The song by Brett. Hey, we've got another little victory to report. Not a little victory, this is significant. You know, we've been working on this genocide issue as well. We're going to get to the political conversation in just one moment. But we've been working on the genocide issue, and we've got developments on the floor of the House. Remember, we have a 7-point plan that we put forward that we want Congress to adopt on how to handle the genocide issue, but also offering in-region aid, kind of a comprehensive approach on this. We think rather than having refugees sent shipped over to the United States, it needs to be in-region. And we need to give a lot of aid because it's a terrible situation there. And we still don't know who the people are necessarily. So that's what I'm concerned about with coming into the United States. But we had a bit of a victory, or we'll have one this afternoon on the floor of the House. And this, again, folks, we don't just talk about the issues here. We don't just lay them out for you. We actually work them. And we've got some good news. Stan, go ahead and give us that update. Then I'll get right to these calls.
Yeah, this is really significant, Jay. This is something that we've been working on over the last 48 hours and through the night, trying to get an amendment on the floor of the House of Representatives as part of the defense authorization bill that would do essentially what you just said, would authorize in-region safe zones for these refugees. It's one of our 7 points in the plan for genocide. A lot of the progress that we have made, Jay, has been internationally, yep. And there's been a lot of it at the United Nations. But this one is the significant one we needed domestically here in the Congress. This afternoon in the House of Representatives is going to vote on this amendment by Jeff Fortenberry. I think it's going to pass, and it will put pressure on the administration to actually establish these in-region safe zones where Christian refugees can actually come and actually, Jay, be provided protection. Yep. As opposed to just talking about it, there will be a place they can come and be safe.
By the way, I'm going to be on Sean Hannity's radio broadcast this afternoon on the 911 bill, which is the removal of sovereign immunity from Saudi Arabia. If they were involved in the 9/11 attacks, it would allow the victims of that to seek legal recourse. All right, we're going to go right to the phones. Interesting. BlueEye315 on Periscope said, I'm hoping for Trump and Trey Gowdy as a ticket. Trey Gowdy's done a great job on a lot of fronts. You don't hear his name frequently in the VP mix, but who knows? Judy on Periscope asked, Jay, what are your thoughts about the law just passed allowing Americans to sue Saudi Arabia? I'm going to be talking about that this afternoon. The president's threatening to veto it. There's Republicans and conservatives and Democrats on both sides of this. My analysis will be shared on Hannity's broadcast, but I will tell you that I think if there's culpability, they should be held responsible. Saudi Arabia needs to crack down on the situation. The 9/11 hijackers originated from Saudi Arabia. It's all this does is remove some sovereign immunity. I understand the global issues involved in it, so it's not that simple. But I think that the American people, the victims of it, should have a right to seek redress. All right, we're going to go right to the phones, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Rita from Houston, Texas, on line 5. Hi, Rita. Rita, you're on the air.
All right. Yes, hi there.
Hi, Rita. Go ahead.
Okay, so I was saying that I am not for Hillary or Donald Trump.
Okay.
I believe that Hillary just really wants to carry the Clinton's name into the warehouse. She's not serious about fighting for the Americans. And as for Donald Trump, I don't think he's serious either. I think in 1 year he's going to come on live air and throw the finger to all of us. And Hillary may ride it out if her health allows it, but I don't think she'll fight for us.
Okay. So who do you like?
Well, you know what? Out of the three that we have going right now, I would say Bernie would be the best candidate. Not that he has all the know-how, but then none of them do.
I think, Rita, it's fair to say, and I'm going to let you finish, is this our first Bernie Sanders endorsement call that's come on radio, Will? I think it is. All right. Well, you're the first. That's good. Rita, let me ask you this. What do you do what would your thoughts be if Bernie Sanders is not the nominee and it doesn't look like he's going to be, and if it's Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump?
Well, I'm not for any of them, honestly. None of the three are my choice. But whoever wins, I'm going to pray diligently for whoever
That's great. And let me encourage you to vote. You know, folks, I know that some of these candidates, and like Rita's saying, they may not have been your first choice, they may not have been your 16th choice, but men and women, and I know you know this, Rita, have literally given blood, sweat, and tears for our right to vote. And Rita, you're going to vote regardless, and you're going to pray, sounds like.
I'm not going to vote, but I am going to pray.
You're going to pray you're not going to vote. Well, there's down ticket. You got to vote for senators and members of Congress. You could do that, even if you're not voting for the president. But I tell you this, Rita, I would encourage you to vote, even though you got to pick. It may not be your candidate of choice. A lot of people, like I said, that's the way our country works. Thanks for calling in. First Bernie Sanders fan, our first Bernie Sanders caller. Somebody is feeling the burn here.
Rita, well, a lot of folks are, but just quickly on the voting piece, that's a sacred right that many people in this world don't have. She needs to go and vote, even if it's a protest vote for someone else, which I have my own thoughts on. She needs to go and vote because that's a right that many millions around the world would love to have, and Rita has it. It's a valuable thing.
Here's an interesting one. Clark on Facebook said, and this kind of ties in with Rita. As a conservative, I like Sanders better than Hillary, but neither one is good choice for America. So this is interesting because Bernie Sanders is a Democratic Socialist. He's running as a Democratic Socialist. So, you know, it's an interesting phenomenon that someone would say as a conservative they would like Sanders more than Hillary. I think it's fair to say, and his colleagues say this, Bernie Sanders is a likable guy. People like Bernie Sanders. It's just a question of policy. This is coming down to policy, folks, and we're coming down to where it really counts. All right, right back to the phones we go. 800-684-3110. This is an all political day today. We are going to take the next segment, talk about the situation in Kenya, then we'll get right back to the political situation. Let's go to Angie, who's calling from Lakeview, Oregon. Hey, Angie.
Hey, Jay, you know, I've heard you say that you let Israel know that just because of some of the choices our government makes,
yep,
that's not the whole feeling of the American people altogether. Well, I want to say the same thing for Oregon because I just feel humiliated about the
choice. Bernie Sanders, let me put up on the screen for our friends on Facebook and Periscope. Oregon, Bernie Sanders had a, not shocking, a pretty significant win in Oregon with 54% of the vote to 45.2%. So he won by almost 10%. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's Eugene, Oregon, and up into even almost the Seattle area. But I'm telling you that the people from Eugene, Oregon down are not that way at all. We have a way more conservative way of life. It's such a separation in the people. But the majority that live in those cities seem to represent who we are. But here down in the southern half, we're not that way at all.
So who do you like?
I just wanted to put that out there.
Who are you going
to
vote for, Angie?
I'm going to pick Trump. I was for Cruz. I was for Ben Carson before that.
Yep.
But
all right.
Absolutely.
But you're voting.
Oh, absolutely.
Thank you. That's very, very important. You know, Fan, they've got they all talk about the unity of the Republican Party, that Donald Trump's got to work for this unification of the Republican Party. There's not as much dialogue on the Democratic side, but there should be, because Bernie Sanders has been a force in this, and a pretty significant one.
Well, there's only going to be one contested convention, and that's going to be on the Democrat side, Jay. I mean, listen, it has taken a long time for both of the frontrunners to secure their nomination. In fact, neither one of them is going to clinch it, even counting the superdelegates, until June 7th. But the difference between the two sides is, on June 7th, Donald Trump is actually going to clinch the nomination. Hillary Clinton is not. She's still going to have to go to convention and keep the superdelegates with her. So it's kind of ironic. Neither one really secured the momentum early on, but only one has it in the bag. That's Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton still has some work to do.
No, she's got to fight for it. By the way, someone asked, who do you think the VP pick will be for the Republicans? I think that's something I want to discuss, but we're going to wait until Jordan joins us in the second half of the broadcast, so stay tuned for that. By the way, if you don't get the full hour, and a lot of the stations are now carrying the full hour, but if you don't, all you have to do is go over to ACLJ.org. You can get the audio only. We're also live on ACLJ.org. You can get a three-camera TV shoot quality. Facebook and Periscope, of course, you can get the full hour. So there's a lot of ways for you to get the full hour of the broadcast. We encourage you to do it. All right, I'm going to take some more calls. 1-800-684-3110. 800-684-3110. I'm going to go to Rhonda, Dade City, Florida. Hey, Rhonda.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to bring up a fact. When these Bernie supporters realize that the superdelegates are going to take him down, they're looking for a place to go. We're looking for a place to go, the Never Hillary, Never Trump. Let's go Libertarian. They're on all of the ballots.
Yeah, but have you reviewed Gary Johnson's positions in the Libertarian Party's position? Because you could say, let's go, but you got to understand their policies.
Yes, so, I have, and there's three of them. As far as I'm concerned, they haven't had the convention yet, but he hasn't been the one who's been selected. There's three.
It's likely he will be. I'm not opposing or, you know, I don't endorse or oppose candidates. Look, I think there will be people that will vote Libertarian. There always are people that vote Libertarian. But can you name a state, Fan, is there a state that a Libertarian could win?
I don't see one, and that's really the point here. You have to win a state outright to really be even relevant. Otherwise, it's going to be one of the two main nominees who's the president.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying, Rhonda, and I understand the concern. It's just I think the reality of the situation is just not likely that will do it. But look, it's a free country. You're going to vote, though, and that's the critical part of this. All right. We're going to be taking a break, so we're going to be taking more of your calls. Let me encourage you to sign on. We've got a piece out right now on our situation in Kenya, which we're going to be joined by Palmer Williams in a moment. She's one of our associate counsels working on this case. We have an office in Kenya. We litigate for these young girls that are being sold into slavery. I will tell you, we've had a victory. These are, by the way, when we talk about victories there, it's one or two at a time. This is not you go to the Supreme Court of the United States and you win a case. This is you protected two girls, you protected six girls, you got seven girls back. This is what we're doing in Kenya. But I'm going to talk about it because it's a major issue. If you get our emails and alerts, you got an update on it today. But let me encourage you to go to ACLJ.org and sign that petition right now for those young girls. I think that would be very, very important. Again, helps us at the UN as we take it to the UN. That's going to be the next stop for this one. So again, ACLJ.org. You can also sign the petition for Israel. That'll be back up tomorrow. But again, if you're worried about and concerned about what's happening, it's a human rights issue for these young women. We're going to talk about that when we come back from the break. We'll talk more politics as well. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Back with more in just one moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
That song from the Jay Sekulow Band, Life's Been Good. We had a lot of fun with that. We're working on another one right now that's very close. Matt said, Matt Keister's in the studio with me today. He's running the Facebook for and Periscope for Logan. Logan's out. We're going to have a great song by Boston called Long Time. So it was a fun one. And we're final edits and final tracking of the song is going on now. Hope to have that out next week. All right, we've got an important topic. We're going to get back to the political conversations in a moment, folks, so stay tuned for that. But I want to bring up something that's important. We do work globally, as you know, especially related to the persecuted church. And this is not a persecuted church situation, but it's persecuted people, and these people happen to be young girls. We have an office in Kenya. A lot of you may not know that. We have an office in Zimbabwe also. So we work in the region. We've worked in Sudan. We continue to work throughout the world. We've got offices all over the globe, places we don't even disclose. But we do have an office in Kenya. That office has been very active. Young girls being taken into sex slavery or sold as wives is a problem in Kenya. And these are young girls, much younger than you'd imagine. Palmer Williams is an associate counsel with the ACLJ. She's in the studio with me here at our media center. And we just had a victory, and we're still working the case. But Palmer, let's talk about the issue first. I think it's important for people to understand that while we're taking a break for one segment here on politics, as I keep saying, folks, we're a multifaceted organization at the ACLJ. We handle a lot of issues. I'm getting ready for an address at a very large gathering on the immigration issue. I'm handling a matter at the UN the next week. So the next 2 weeks, I am booked, as they say. But our lawyers are working around the globe. Palmer, talk a little bit about this. First, what the issue is in Kenya so people understand what it is.
Sure, absolutely. So last July, our attorneys on the ground in Kenya were contacted by a local NGO, the Samburu Girls Foundation, to let us know that there were girls that in imminent danger of being sold into sex slavery, forced marriages, as they call it there, and then also forced indoor female genital mutilation.
How old are these girls?
We're talking girls as young as 10, 7, 14, young underage girls. By all international standards, these girls are not able to be married off. And so we were told that these girls needed to be rescued. And so our attorneys went with the folks from the NGO and were actually able to rescue two girls, one, I think, 10 and the other 14. One had already been married off. And
describe the rescue. What happens?
Sure. Yeah, we go. One of the girls was actually sheltered by her brother, which put her brother in pretty big danger.
Yeah.
And then we were able to go in and literally under the cloak of darkness, get the girls out of their homes. And now they're in the care of this NGO and in school and safe, but clearly have suffered a lot of abuse and need of some aftercare.
Sure. Now, but everybody needs to understand, these are not mass wins in a sense that, I mean, it was
right.
A mass win for those two girls, but it's not hundreds and thousands. We're talking about one at a time here that you're getting these girls back. But we don't just work on the ground to get them back. Our lawyers also take it to the next step. And there's going to be two steps here. The first one I want to talk about is court. We have an office, as I said, in Kenya. We are actually in court. And let's talk about that for a moment.
Absolutely. So we've actually taken one of these perpetrators to court. We've been enjoined as a special party at the Kenyan High Court to make sure that the one of the 54-year-old men who married off a 14-year-old girl is prosecuted. One of the biggest issues that these Kenyan girls are facing is basic impunity,
right,
for their perpetrators. And so we have submitted briefs to the court to say international law requires that you prosecute these men.
Right.
And local Kenyan law requires that you prosecute these men. And so we are in court right now. We have another hearing come up later this month to make sure that this man is prosecuted. And I think it'll set a great precedent moving
sure.
forward
right.
if he is prosecuted to continue.
Let me say something else here. We have our Oxford Center for the Study of Law and Public Policy. I haven't talked about that much since we've added all these new stations. But this is a program where we bring in lawyers from our offices and others from all over the globe. And we were actually in at the University of Oxford last March, about a little over a year ago. And the lawyer that we have, Ken, who was handling these matters, laid this whole scenario out to us for us, and then we were able to put in place a strategy, and we're implementing that strategy now. Now, it doesn't stop with the local courts in Kenya, which is obviously important, because how many law firms, you know, are going to court in Kenya? Well, we are. But we're taking it to the next level, too, because we have the ability as an NGO with special consultative status of the UN to actually go to the United Nations. So let's talk about that for a second, Palmer, because that's the next phase of this. And that's how you can handle it more as a en masse situation. You rescue the two girls. That is great. But you can then create a global issue with this by going to the UN.
Absolutely. So later this month, we'll be submitting a submission before the United Nations Human Rights Commission, bringing the plight of these girls to the international stage and asking the UN to act on their behalf.
Fan, let's talk about the UN side of this, because you're our designated representative, our senior representative at the UN. It makes a big difference. We've intervened, whether it's Saeed Abedini's case, whether it's been persecution with the genocide issue. We've been there front and center at the UN. It makes a big difference. We're about to go back there in a week and a half.
Yeah, well, actually, I think what makes our work so effective at the UN, Jay, is what you're hearing from Palmer. We don't just go to the UN and advocate on policy. We actually have local staff on the ground in these countries, in Kenya, that know Kenyan law. We can then take that to the UN and say, listen, we're not just some international entity that is advocating on these policies. We are involved in the cases. We know the law. We're doing the litigation. Yeah. And so you kind of have to work it on dual tracks, Jay. And I would just also quickly say, our audience doesn't hear about that specific in-country footprint as much as they hear about our UN work. But our UN work doesn't happen if we don't have that footprint on the ground. You've got to do both in conjunction. Otherwise, neither one works.
So, folks, what Sam's saying, I want to underscore this, is that we're both at the UN, which is the global presence, but then on the ground in Kenya. We've got offices in Zimbabwe. We've got offices in Pakistan. When you hear about these atrocities in Pakistan, our lawyers and investigators are handling these cases. It's interesting. Trish on Facebook said, I want to see this evil punished. This grieves me beyond belief. And I understand that from our online folks, that people are really glad that we're talking about this. Hey, folks, this is the real stuff. It's not just hypothetical theory. It's the reality. And policies matter. And on the ground matters. I want to go back, though, and recast this so everybody understands, again, Palmer, what we're talking about. We're talking about girls as young as 7 and what happens to them.
Absolutely. So they are forced by their families into marrying men that are their father's age, their grandfather's age. They are then forced to undergo an awful ceremony of female genital mutilation on their wedding day. And then they're forced into a life of rape and slavery, basically. And in the northern region of Kenya is mainly where we're seeing this right now.
So we are on the ground in Kenya, litigating this in court, rescued the two girls, and we're fighting back at the UN as well. So Norma on Facebook said, can we trust the UN with issues like this? No, you can't trust them, but we can bring it out. And we've had good results. I trust but verify, as Ronald Reagan said. We work through those issues, so we're going to continue to do that. I want to encourage you right now, folks, to be in prayer for our team in Kenya as they work this issue, and pray for our team also. We're going to have a big team up at the UN on the Israel matter. That's all this is happening at the same time, so we'd appreciate your prayers for that. And Palmer, thanks for being with us. We appreciate it. All right, we come back to the mundane, to politics. But we've got to cover it, so we're going to do that. Tomorrow we're going to follow up on more on the Iran situation, more developments there. That'll be on tomorrow's broadcast. When we come back from the break, remember, if you're only getting 30 minutes, folks, just go right over to ACLJ.org. The whole hour's right there. Or go to @JaySekulow at Periscope or Facebook JaySekulow. You can watch the whole hour of the broadcast. And, of course, SiriusXM and a number of stations. You got it. We encourage you to do it. Sign this petition that we were talking about, protecting these young girls. Let's get a global stand here, almost hitting 30,000. We want you to do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org or 1-877-989-2255 if you want to sign that petition. We're going to be back with more in just a moment.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Freedom. I'm talking about freedom.
of the night in Kentucky. Hillary Clinton finally squeaks it out. Donald Trump easily wins in Oregon as well, or in Kentucky as well. So there you have it. I mean, it was Oregon, actually, and 66% for Trump. So it was a big win for Trump there. Hillary Clinton squeaks it out by a half a point. She loses in Oregon by almost 10%. So it's a contested convention on that side of the equation. We've got a lot of people that have been holding. Welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. Jordan's joining us now. Jordan, what's your read? We'll go to a call in a moment. What's your read on the situation on the Democratic side right now?
Well, I think the big question is not that Hillary Clinton will get to the magic number of total delegates needed. She needs 2,383 right now. If you include superdelegates, she's at she needs less than 100 delegates. You got big states coming up next month, and because of their proportional system, she will certainly get to that number. But 524 of those so far are unpledged. That means that they will have to make their votes secure. They can't do that until they're actually at the convention, which means that they can flip. And so Bernie Sanders can continue to push. His supporters can continue to push. Now, they've used some tactics in the last few days, which have made people a little bit concerned. Yep. And I think what's happening is what some people thought might happen at the Republican convention may, in fact, happen at the Democrat convention when you've got a real war. It's not to say that Hillary Clinton likely won't get that nomination because of the numbers she's got. And she's run a good race when it comes to the delegate count. But Bernie Sanders has plenty of delegates that will be there that could make this not the best optics and really make it a, kind of a fight.
Yep. All right, we're taking your calls. 1-800-684-3110. Catherine is calling. She's from Phoenix, Arizona. And again, we'll take your calls at 800-684-3110. Catherine, thanks for holding. We're going to send you an undemocratic sign because you've been holding for a while. Go ahead, please.
Okay, hi. Yes, you know, I do not believe, really, that any of the candidates are really any good. I firmly believe that Hillary and Sanders would be the worst thing for the United States to be in office. Therefore, I'm looking at Trump. I'm going to vote for Trump because I believe that this man would have the best interest more than any other of America. And
were you initially, Catherine, were you initially for Trump, or who was your first candidate of choice?
Trump.
Oh, so you've been Trump for out. Okay, very good. Well, he's going to be the nominee. And let's talk about the unification on that side. Than, how do you see it right now on the Republican side?
Well, I think he's going to mostly unify the party. I mean, I do think there's going to be a significant number of voters, as there are, frankly, every year, Jay, who don't like the candidates. I mean, I think the caller referenced this. But at the end of the day, there are really only going to be two choices for the next president of the United States, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump. And I think most registered Republicans come the fall are going to decide that Donald Trump is more in line with their views. Certainly not all of them, but I do think there actually will be additional states in play because you look at last night, Donald Trump made a play for Bernie Sanders voters. Guess what? He's probably going to get some of them as
I think he will. I was at a college tour speaking at some colleges, and I will tell you, some of these students were saying, my first choice is Bernie Sanders, my second choice was Donald Trump. Jeff is calling from Pueblo, Colorado. You're on the air, line six. Hi, Jeff.
It's Jesse, and yes, sir, I would like to put in a plug for true moral values, and that is for someone who would represent the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah. Mr. Trump is not about make America great, he's about make Mr. Trump great.
So who do you like?
Well, definitely Cruz, and I would urge my fellow American Christians to vote for a conservative, a man who stands for biblical
issues. So you would only be able to put, assuming Ted Cruz doesn't get the nomination, that could be a write-in. And I think people will write in. But, Jordan, the impact of write-ins, we know. Thank you, Jeffy, for your call. Write-in, I mean, it's a right you have, and I encourage you to vote. And even if it comes to a write-in, but the write-in vote generally, you know, and no one's ever won the presidency on a write-in.
No, exactly right. Without the backing of a major party. There's talk about recruiting someone out, you know, from within the Republican Party. There's been talk about people like John Kasich, even Mitt Romney's name once again, Senator Ben Sasse of Nebraska. So far, no one has said they will do that. Who would get some of the benefit of knowing the major donors and could probably mount some kind of challenge. But again, that's exactly what Hillary Clinton wants.
Sure.
I mean, you split up the right vote in America, the conservative vote in America between Donald Trump and someone else. That makes it probably easier for her.
All right, we're taking your calls, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We want you to join us in our fight in Kenya. You can sign that petition at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. If you want to talk to us, 800-684-3110.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Everyone taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. This is a day where we're talking about politics. Tomorrow, I want to get back into the Israel-Iran situation as we are getting ready for a major hearing at the UN. So we're going to talk about that on tomorrow's Friday's broadcast. But nevertheless, we said today would be politics. I'm sure we'll do some politics tomorrow, too. Roxy's calling from Washington State. Another Bernie voter. Second one of the day. First two we've had. Roxy, you're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I am going to vote for Bernie. I know that this could be the very first write-in presidential election, but, you know, it's out there.
Well, tell me why Bernie. Do you normally vote Democrat?
Always.
Okay, so yes. Why Bernie over Hillary?
Because Hillary had her chance to stand as a woman in a good position years ago and show leadership, and she chose not to. She chose to hide behind Bill while he publicly degraded her and sent this terrible message across the world to all females that were to stay and take it. There are a lot of us women out there educated, standing on our own without all the pearls that she's had in life.
So Roxy, it's interesting to say this because in some of the news this morning they were talking about this because Hillary mentioned yesterday that she would put Bill Clinton in charge of the economy like an economics czar. And that has gotten a lot of pushback. And I think it's from some of the reasons Roxy's talking about.
Well, I think it underscored the fear of a lot of Democrat voters that it might be the worst thing in the world in this cycle to put someone up as entrenched in Washington, D.C. as one of the Clintons against someone like Donald Trump, who clearly has tapped into the Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump, outside the vein sentiment that voters have. So I think that's why Bernie Sanders has continued to gain momentum. And interestingly enough, to Roxy's point, he might be the one person out there, Jay, that could actually win a state. I'm thinking his home state of Vermont as a write-in or a third-party candidate. Now, that would probably help Donald Trump, but he's the one person I could think of that could maybe win a state without getting his party's nomination.
We lost Roxy. Okay, Jordan, so let me ask you this. I'm going to take another call in a minute here. There's an interesting dynamic on their side. When I say their side, the Democratic side. We're not picking sides here, but there's the Republican side, the Democratic side here. Republicans thought this was going to be a heavily contested convention. They were going to be changing rule changes and how that was going to impact it. None of that's materializing. Donald Trump, clearly the presumptive nominee, and is very close. Let's put the numbers up on the screen. I mean, he is getting very close for our friends on Facebook, Periscope, or ACLJ.org. Do we have those? Okay. He's within, I think, 77 or 100?
77.
Yeah, 77 delegates. He's that close. So this idea that there was going to be a big contested convention on the Republican side, just Jordan hasn't materialized.
No, it's not. I mean, right now, Donald Trump is on track to easily secure the nomination. Now, it took a long time. It wasn't like in the past where that nomination could be basically said and done in March. But, By May, by the end of April, this was basically done. And so it's still, he has to go through the process. People have to cast their votes. But as people saw in Oregon, you could take from that that he's going to get the overwhelming amount. And so clearly have enough delegates. I don't expect much of a war there.
Yeah.
And that's because when you clear that number, the options are extremely limited. We don't have, in the Republican side, a lot of unpledged or superdelegates. There's about 58, though, that come out of various states.
Right.
That won't be enough to swing anything. And that's, Donald Trump has 58 of those, and there's 18 for Ted Cruz. That's it. So not enough people to swing anything. It's not that close anymore. What will be, again, the bigger question is there some kind of real third-party challenge? Well, there'll be other people's name on the ballot,
right.
The Constitution Party, sometimes the Libertarian Party. But will there be a Mitt Romney type? He's kind of said he's trying to find someone like Kasich or Senator Sass from Nebraska. But so far, no indication that they'd be willing to do that.
Interesting comment from Myers on Facebook said, I believe protecting the conservative balance on the Supreme Court is paramount. We cannot afford to lose the country's freedoms for our children and grandchildren. So I think the Supreme Court issue is going to play big in this next election, since we know there is going to be a vacancy. Let's go right back to the phones at 800-684-3110. Chris is calling from Pennsylvania. Hey, Chris, you're on the air.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Good.
Thank you for everything that you and your organization do.
Thanks.
God bless you guys. You really protect the American people.
Thank you.
Secondly, I like Trump because, you know what, he stirred up the whole political scene with speaking the truth and really standing by the American people. So he's my number one guy.
Was he your number one guy from the outset?
What's that?
Was he your number one guy, Chris, from the outset?
No, originally, no. I liked John Kasich, and I think John Kasich would be a good VP, actually, because he's got the
Talk about that for a minute. Yeah, Chris, you bring a good point. We got a couple questions coming in on Facebook on logical VPs. There's been lists circulated and floated. Let me ask this. Than and Jordan, I'll go to Than first. VP picks, are we hearing, Ben Carson floated some names. Then some people said, well, that may not be the name. What are you hearing inside in Washington right now?
I've heard Condoleezza Rice. I've heard. Go ahead, Jordan.
Yeah, I think that we both heard various names on the side when it comes to John Kasich. He continues to say no, but with some caveats open. Same with people like Marco Rubio. They haven't really claimed absolutely not. The question is, will they actually make the decision to join Trump? And I think that's where he's got the work to do.
Yep.
It's no longer with the primary. It's with those kind of people, the kind of VP choices, like our caller said, which would make Washington and kind of the traditional Republicans more comfortable.
Yeah, Than, what's your thoughts? Where do you see it going right now?
I agree with Jordan. I would say this to Chris, the last caller. I actually think, even though John Kasich made some comments over the last couple of weeks that he is not inclined to be the vice president, I think he would take it if asked. And I actually think he's probably at the top of the list because of the importance of Ohio. And quite frankly, he likes to run for president. So I think he would enjoy running for vice president.
There's a lot of talk about Newt Gingrich, too. There's a lot of talk about Newt Gingrich, and that'd be an interesting pick as well. All right, right back to the phones, 800-684-3110. Let's go to Joel calling from Augusta, Georgia. Hi, Joel.
Hey, Jay. I'm sort of one of the few young conservatives, probably one of the few who listen to your broadcast. But
I think we've got young conservatives listening to the broadcast. I think we've got young liberals listening to the broadcast, but I'm sure glad you are, Joel. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm sort of concerned if Bernie wins Democrat side, because he seems to be capturing the youth vote, and that's sort of, and him versus supposedly capitalist pig Trump. How would the youth vote sort of play out in the general election?
Well, that's an interesting question, and the perfect person to answer that's Jordan Sekulow, who was the youth director for the Bush campaign in 2004. So, Jordan, the youth vote.
Yeah, I did this for Romney campaign also in 2008, and I would tell people this: youth vote can be very important when you really get down to the margins. Now, on the for instance, inside the Democrat race, and in some states, but ultimately, to win general elections, you've got to get more than just young voters, and traditionally, that's 15-20%. It's really those voters over the age of 60 who make up some of the largest numbers, and can you get the kind of folks who are 25 and up, 30 and up to come out and vote? People are pretty busy in their life starting out and with jobs or family. And so that's kind of one of the key demographics. It is important for momentum. It's certainly important for your grassroots activism, which also is important in the general election. But you can't win an election on just the youth vote. That's not to try to say it's not important. But what you'll usually see is Republicans just trying to make sure that they aren't getting totally blown out. So it's maybe they lose the youth vote, but it's by 8 percentage points, which is different than what you may think. But again, when general election comes around and parties put a lot of resources into GOTV to get out the vote, you will see that there are a lot of young people who end up voting Republican. They just aren't as vocal about it.
I will tell you this, folks. Also, let me tell you, we had Congressman Forbes on the broadcast just yesterday or day before, and it was on the issue of Iran and the way they treated our captured U.S. sailors. And this is becoming a national news story, and we're expecting a bombshell announcement on what this actually was and how they were treated. And we're going to get into more of that on the broadcast tomorrow. So the Iran matter that we've been front and center on, and not just talking about, but taking action in Capitol Hill, front and center. I mean, in a very, very significant way. So we'll let you know how that develops. All right, we're taking one more call before the break here. 800-684-3110. I'm going to go to Roger in New Hampshire. Hi, Roger.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, sir.
Hey, I'm the father of 3 Marines.
Oh, great.
And I can't believe there are any Americans that could look at a service person in the eye and say they're not going to vote.
I'm with you.
Unbelievable.
I'm with you 100%. The fact is that we don't have that option, in my view. Men and women, I said this, have given their blood, sweat, and tears to fight for the right to vote. We have to vote. You may not, you know, look, you can write in a candidate, you can write for an independent, you can vote any way you want, but you got to vote. And I think, look, don't not vote. It's very, very important. We've got a phone line open at 800-684-3110. We're going to go to rapid fire round. That means anything you want to ask, we're going to try to address. So 1-800-684-3110. We'll take your calls when we come back from the break. Tomorrow's broadcast, we'll get more into Iran. I'm sure there'll be some more politics, but Congressman Forbes is really hitting this issue of Iran and their treatment of our soldiers very, very heavily. Folks, we were on top of that story. We're on top of the legal issues surrounding that. Fan very quickly. What do you expect developing there? Congressman Forbes has been front and center. He was on our broadcast. It looks like he's picking up a lot of steam.
Congressman Forbes said Americans would be shocked at this video, Jay. He said they would be even more shocked that Secretary Kerry can still apologize when he knew this information before he issued that apology. It's going to be something else.
All right, folks, we are monitoring it very carefully for you. We're working on the situation. We come back from the break. I'm taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. It's a rapid-fire round, 800-684-3110. You heard about our work in Kenya. Support it. Go to aclj.org. And also, if you don't get our email alerts, you need to get them. We encourage you to get our email alerts, and you'll find out about these cases we're working on. Again, aclj.org to sign up for those and to sign that petition. But also, folks, like us on Facebook. I've got a page. ACLJ's got a page. Jordan's got a page. Back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Jewish students, professors, and Christians who support Israel face vicious discrimination at U.S. universities, all in an attempt to delegitimize the state of Israel. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. That's why the ACLJ is launching a massive new multinational legal campaign in defense of Israel, in the U.S., at the U.N., and with world leaders. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. But we need these global leaders to hear from you now. Add your name to our new petition, a petition to defend Israel from anti-Israel attacks across the globe. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255. 989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Any question you've got, aclj.org or 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. By the way, Ben Rhodes, we talked about that situation. He's gotten himself in a mess, but he is going nowhere. He said he is going to stay there, period. And he doesn't care what the Republicans or conservatives say. He's staying there, even though he said one thing about the Iran deal and somebody else said something else, including the somebody else being the Secretary of State. We're taking your calls at 800-684-3110. Let's go right back to those phones. Again, if you want to talk to us, 1-800-684-3110. Becky is calling from Missouri. She's on line 6. Hi, Becky.
Hi. Thank you for all you do. And my question is, what happened to all the original Republican candidates taking an oath and thinking it was of utmost importance to support whomever the Republican nominee is for president?
Yeah, so remember, they took an oath, and it was really aimed at, will Donald Trump support the Republican nominee? So they just had an oath signing. Jordan, give us a little history of that, and then we'll talk about what's happened.
Yeah, well, you've had a lot of people go back on this oath, or at least, you know, they haven't had the chance yet. Many of them will. Some of them are delegates to the convention, so you can watch there. Others, it will just be whether or not they come around. It's different to, I think, will they actually support, and how you define that? Are they actually going to campaign? I think there's plenty of them who will not. But how do they actually cast their vote at the end of the day?
Yep.
So that pledge basically fell apart. I will say that Donald Trump, to an extent, he was never real big on that anyways, and has said very publicly he knows some of them won't, because it was such a tough race, and he was very tough on them and vice versa. And he's again, saying at least that he's not going to work so hard and expect them to come on board.
So, Than, in right there in your office in Washington, what's your sense of what happens on this unification effort and this? Is this Never Trump thing picking up any steam? I don't see it, but I may be wrong.
Well, not with credibility as far as another presidential candidate goes. I do think there will be some people that file a protest vote. I think that will certainly happen. Listen, Jordan's right on the pledge issue. I mean, part of the reason that there's been it didn't mean that much in the first place. Remember, Donald Trump didn't sign it, and then he did, and then he walked away from it. So it's going to be very hard for him to push that issue because he was never into it in the first place. I do think most of these candidates will ultimately vote for him. Jordan's right, though. Campaigning is another matter. A bunch of them won't.
Yeah, Michelle on Facebook said, why did we have to wait to hear about our sailors, how they suffered? Well, it's a confidential briefing. So this was Randy Forbes, the congressman, who's a good friend of ours, came on to say, did not disclose what he heard, obviously, but said it's shocking what we're going to hear. And we broke that on Monday's broadcast. We're going to get into that more tomorrow. Right back to the phones we go at 800-684-3110. Judy is calling from Pensacola, Florida. Hey, Judy.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for my call.
Sure.
I just want to really kind of reach out. I'm a Trump supporter.
Okay.
And I just want to reach out to any of the Cruz or Kasich or anybody else, you know, that's run against Trump. On behalf of the Supreme Court justice vote and pick, please consider voting for Trump. We can't lose this. We'll lose the soul of our country if we don't get the right people in. So I just plead, you know, to all you guys.
Look, the Supreme Court is at stake. I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, look, it's we lost Justice Scalia. He was probably the most significant jurist of our lifetime. And we lost a great, great justice of the Supreme Court of the United States. And we know there's a vacancy. So are there going to be more? Probably. And that's the one thing I think at the end of the day, that when you've got to get into the vote, think about the Supreme Court, Republican or Democrat, whichever direction you want it to go in, the Supreme Court matters. Right back to the phones we go. Isaiah is calling from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hi, Isaiah.
Hi, Jay.
Yep.
Thanks for taking my call. Thanks for your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say I'm a college student, and so I've noticed that in the college community, it seems, while there is, I see a lot of Bernie supporters, it seems like it's more of a fashionable trend to be anti-Trump than really pro anybody else.
So I think, look, the college campuses have been very much a Bernie Sanders territory. Jordan, I was in Michigan and up in Minnesota. Yeah. I've been all around on college campuses the last couple months, and that's a lot of his base is coming out of the college students.
Yeah, it is, and he's announced a lot of programs that appeal to college students, whether it's student debt, free college, things that won't necessarily impact them, but maybe the future. And so he's appealed heavily. He's got a lot of grassroots support. I don't think it's just an anti-Republican vote. I'll contrast that with someone like John Kerry. When I was a youth director for President Bush in his reelection in 2004 that was successful, there was a lot of talk about the youth vote because, remember, that was a time when the war was starting to really wane on people, the popularity of it. John Kerry threw out that President Bush may reinstate the draft. I mean, really directly at young people. There was definitely an anti-Bush sentiment on college campuses, but there wasn't a lot of pro-Kerry. And because of that, the vote didn't end up being that far apart. It was almost split down the middle between the youth vote, between Republican and Democrat, between Kerry and Bush. And I think if Bernie Sanders isn't part of this race, you could see something similar because Donald Trump also appeals to a lot of those young people because he is different.
Yeah, I was going to ask Stan that. I mean, I think there is a sense that you could see Bernie Sanders supporters, if he's not the nominee, some of those going to Donald Trump because of the outsider.
I think a lot of them. I mean, if Hillary Clinton beats Bernie Sanders and so many of those voters are in their minds disenfranchised, I don't mean that they didn't have a say in it, but they feel put off by the primary process, and you have someone like Donald Trump coming in from the outside, I think it could be even closer than the situation that Jordan's describing. I actually think Donald Trump would be very competitive in that demographic.
Yeah, I think so too. Ann's calling from Albany, New York. You're on the air. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Jay. Hi. As I'm kind of listening to your show and seeing some of the Facebook comments, I'm new to becoming familiar with what the ACLJ does, but I've been commenting and feeling frustrated by people who are kind of sounding like they're ranting. The government does this, and our congressmen don't do this. But that doesn't relieve a citizen, all of us, me, anyone who's listening, you, of doing something. And I can't do what you do, but I can. If somebody can type a Facebook post, they can sign a petition.
Absolutely.
If somebody can be on the Internet, they can give a $5 donation.
Right.
So I just want people to be careful that they don't sound like they're missing that they're part of America.
What we're trying to do, Anne, is offer people not only a venue to discuss the issues, but also to take action. And by the way, we started on this issue involving these Kenyan girls. We came into the studio. We had about 26,000 signatures. We're almost at 31,000. So, Anne, people are doing exactly what you said. They are taking action. We appreciate that and encourage people to do it. No despair here, folks. We give you the facts. We give you the evidence. We give you a call to action on what we can do about it. Greg is calling from West Virginia. Hey, Greg.
Hello.
Hey.
I just wanted to comment that, Trump is running for the executive office. However, at some point he had to become political. He knew that. And choosing a vice president is going to be the political arm that he will surround himself
with.
That's
going to be the biggest decision he makes in the upcoming. And let me go very quickly here to Jordan and Than. Very quickly, guys. There's a lot of talk about John Kasich. There's a lot of talk. There was some talk about Marco Rubio. He said he doesn't want it. Then there's been talk about Newt Gingrich, who said he would take it. How does that play? Jordan first, then Than quickly.
Yeah, I think that ultimately, Trump has brought in a major pollster. He didn't want to do it, but I think that's because of decisions like this, looking at which state would benefit the most, if there is someone like a Kasich willing to do it, or do you go with a kind of household name in the conservative movement like Newt Gingrich?
Yeah, very interesting. Than, what do you think?
If John Kasich is willing to take it, I think Donald Trump will offer it.
You really do. Okay, there you go. Folks, it's kind of our analysis of it. More on the situation with Iran tomorrow. It is heating up, to say the least. We've been monitoring it all day. We'll be taking your calls tomorrow, of course. Let me also encourage you, go to the ACLJ.org, support our work. By the way, you can make an online contribution when you're there. Keep us in the fight. ACLJ.org. Talk to you tomorrow.
Israel is under constant deadly terrorist knife and rocket attacks. Israel is our ally. The Jewish people are friends. It's our duty to defend them. In just a few weeks, we're co-sponsoring the largest global conference to fight these attempts to delegitimize Israel. Add your name to our new petition. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.